You know, last week we were talking about, well, there was a card that was given, and the card had a question on it. How does the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge manifest in the life of a Christian? So we started taking a look at that last week. And here I thought I knew for sure what God was going to do tonight. Now, he's going to continue on in that. But he changed things a little bit this afternoon, which that's okay with me. I figure he knows better. And I figure I need to catch on. But, you know, I can remember when I was first Spirit-filled, I was so blessed to be in a very, what some folks would call, charismatic church. A lot of people don't like those kinds of labels, and some folks get really put out if you use that term charismatic, but you'll have something maybe to relate to by me sharing that with you. And I was so blessed to be in that kind of an atmosphere. And I would hear people talk about, you know, hearing God speak. Well, you know, when you grow up and you hear folks saying things like God doesn't speak to us today, then you're faced with a real dichotomy. I got, you know, brother so-and-so here that's always told me, no, God doesn't speak today. I mean, that's over and done with. Then I've got brother so-and-so over here talking about hearing the voice of God. Somebody's wrong. You can't have it both ways. He either speaks or he doesn't. And, you know, you hear both stories and you wonder what in the world's going on. So, I just began to listen. Because I will say this, the one thing that I sensed was the presence of God in that church. More than I ever had in any other church I'd ever been in. Now, you have to remember, I had just come back to God. I was a horrible backslider. If there's anything like a good backslider, I don't know. I guess they're both horrible. But anyway, you know, I'd just come back to the Lord. I'd just been filled with the Spirit. And this was new to me. The Spirit-filled stuff was all new to me. I mean, I grew up in church. You must be born again. That's all I heard. So I knew all about that. But yet, this was all new to me, this hearing the voice of God thing. But yet, I sensed the presence of God like nowhere else. So I figured there must be something to this, or I wouldn't be sensing the presence of God. And I think every one of you in here can relate to that in some way, shape, or form, how that you can sense the presence of God in certain churches. And there are other churches you go to, and, you know, bless their hearts, they're trying as hard as they can, but it's just like they don't have a clue. Oh, it's not that they aren't saved and going to heaven, but you understand what I mean. So, I'm hearing this. And I used to hear these people talk about how they would hear God speak. And I thought, man, that's cool. They're hearing God talk. I'd like to be like that. And then here's what happens. As we grow in the Spirit-filled life, we oftentimes begin to associate hearing God speak with what happens in a congregational setting. Or we relate hearing God speak to the person who's always standing up here delivering the word. But when we begin to focus in a different direction with regard to hearing God speak on a daily basis, that's when we really sometimes begin to, you know, tilt a little bit. Oh, I can understand about hearing God speak in a church. Somebody stands up and it's shoma, 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 shoma. And then another person gives the interpretation. We heard God speak. I can understand about the preacher. I mean, he's got to hear God speak. If he doesn't hear God speak, well then, what good is he? Take him outside the city limits and stone him. He's no good. Sometimes, well, no. So, it's one thing to hear the voice of God in a setting like this, but it's something else to hear His voice on a daily basis. Now, if I'm going to hear God's voice, not just here, but every day, then is there something I need to do? Now think about it. If I want to hear Him, what is required of me? Say, oh, Pastor, are you getting ready to share some kind of a works thing? No, not necessarily, but indirectly. You'll understand when we get into this. God is not putting His hand over His mouth and not speaking to us. God does not want you to live your life without hearing Him. God wants you to hear His voice. How do I do that, though? You know, last week we took a look at a fellow named Ananias and how he was just, we call him average Ananias, no big deal. But then God speaks to him, and he was so confident that he was hearing the voice of God. You have to remember, with these Jews, when they grew up, they were essentially taught that only somebody in the priesthood, especially the high priest, and only a guy like a Moses could ever hear the voice of God. They were pretty much led to believe that they couldn't. But now here's a Jew who has swung way off in the opposite direction to where he not only believes he can hear the voice of God, he knows when he hears the voice of God. Not only does he know when he hears the voice of God, but he understands God's voice so clearly that he can carry on a conversation with the Lord. And that conversation can be so specific and so distinct that when he leaves the place of that conversation, he knows what street to go to, he knows what house to go to, and he knows what to do when he gets there. That's pretty good for a Jew that's always been told you can't do something like that. But do you understand? The same thing kind of exists today. Though we're not Jews in the natural sense, but in churches all over the place, there are people who stand up here as the priest and tell the congregations, you can't hear from God. He doesn't speak anymore. Which brings up an interesting question. If God's not speaking, who's inspiring their messages? Well, we can talk about that another time, though. So, how does God speak? Well, tonight, as I was standing here, and He's going to do some exhorting, and He's going to do some teaching tonight. But as I was standing here, He gave me some things for you. And I'll share them as they come up. He said the days of Him speaking audibly to His people are over. Now He speaks inwardly. And I said, now wait a second. You're telling me that you no longer speak outwardly? This happened up here while everybody was in praise and worship. This is why I stand up here. I don't want to be distracted by what's not going on behind me. And there are times when I'll be here, you may see my hands lifted, but I'm not singing. There are times where I lose complete focus of whatever song is being sung. And I don't even hear it. I don't even hear the song. I don't even hear it. Because I'm listening on the inside. And I said, now wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you don't speak outwardly anymore to people? And he said that the main method of his communication is no longer outward. Because he's no longer separated from us by sin. He said now that the sin has been removed, he can live on the inside, and he speaks to us from the inward man. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Because you see, for thousands of years, God couldn't do this. He couldn't live on the inside of us. There was a sin nature on the inside that kept this from happening. But once Jesus performed everything that he did for us, and he rose again, we then had the opportunity to become vessels of God's presence. We now had the opportunity to become the Holy of Holies, wherein God dwells. And it's because of that he now speaks to us through the inward man. And it doesn't mean that he can't speak out loud and audibly. He can do that. But he doesn't have to. And he shared with me up here that the reason we fail to hear the voice of God, the reason we fail to hear him speak, is because we are trained all our lives to rely on communication from the outside in. And we're never trained to listen on the inside. And he said, because I communicate on the inside. And I got to thinking, you know, that's true. Now let's just think for a second. How many of you in here basically grew up in church? All right. Now, if you basically grew up in church, I'm going to make an assumption that you were involved in some kind of something called Sunday school. Where I grew up, we had Sunday school. We had training union on Sunday nights. And then on Wednesday nights, we had RAs, and that was Royal Ambassadors, and the girls had GAs. What's GAs? Girls Auxiliary, that's what it was. Yeah, Girls Auxiliary. So anyway, we always had something. But do you know what? As I stand here, my earliest memories of childhood involve being in church, being spanked in church for acting up. I remember these things. But do you know what? As I think back to my experiences as a child growing up in a ye must be born again preaching church, I don't ever remember anyone teaching me about God talking on the inside of me. I was brought up to depend upon my five senses. Now, if that's all you know, when it comes time to try and start listening to the voice of God, you have to retrain yourself. You have to go completely against what you've always been taught works. And you have to change your whole belief system. Number one, you have to come to the point of believing that God does speak and that He does want to speak to you. And number two, you have to come to the point of believing that you can hear the voice of God on the inside of you. Now that sounds maybe kind of simple, and it's easier said than done. Because when you're trying to train somebody how to listen to the inner man, the voice, the inner voice of God, one of the first things that you have to realize is that is a growing, learning process. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't come to recognize the voice of God in your heart just like that. And what happens as you begin to try, you make this decision, okay, I'm going to listen to the inner man. And you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to think you're hearing God when you're not. And then you know what happens? You get really discouraged because you were so sure that you heard God speak. Turns out it wasn't Him at all. And then you want to give up. I was so sure that was you, God, and it turns out it wasn't. What's the use of trying? Now, here's the problem with that. Well, there's an obvious problem with that. You know you should keep on trying. But when we try to listen on our own, that's when we begin making the mistakes. Do you remember what Jesus said? All right, turn over to Matthew 26. Lord wanted me to show you this. Matthew 26. Now, how many of you are absolutely convinced that Jesus was God in the flesh? All right. Well, that's going to make this easier then. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, "Then saith Jesus unto them," the 12 that were with him, he says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now, now listen to Peter. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Now, you know the story. He denied. But you know what's interesting is that right after this, right after Jesus told him this, and you can see the story here, and it continues on in verse 36. We won't go through and read it all. Right after that, he says, "Peter, James, and John, come with me and pray." Now, they go into the garden, and Jesus is praying. And what happens? They fall asleep. Peter is one of them who falls asleep. And Jesus says, allow me to paraphrase, "What's wrong with you guys? Can't you even pray 1 hour with me?" And you know how embarrassed they must have been. Now, here's the disadvantage we have in all of this. We know what happens from that point on. They didn't know. They did not know that this was the night that the proceedings for his crucifixion were going to begin. They figured it's just another day with Jesus. But now we're convinced that Jesus was God in the flesh. That being true, could we safely assume that in one manner of speaking, Peter heard the voice of God when Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me"? And what did he do? He said no. He said, "You're wrong, Jesus. I won't." Now, this is where the problem comes in. We look at this example in Matthew and we fail to realize the same things happen to us. You say, well, what do you mean? Peter heard the voice of God through Jesus, but he didn't recognize it. All he heard was the sound of a human being as he spoke. And immediately after Jesus says, "You're going to deny me," and Peter says, "I will not," and Jesus says, "All right, you James and John, come with me and pray." If he actually had believed he had heard the voice of God, do you think if God, through Jesus, were to say to you, "You are going to deny me," and then he were to tell you, I want you to spend some time in prayer, what do you think you'd do? I mean, if you knew it was God speaking to you, if you had recognized it was His voice, I'd like to think I'd have spent that hour in prayer. What if he had? What if he had spent that time in prayer? Because that's the first thing Jesus drew him into. He says, come on, let's go pray. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't have a clue about the coming crucifixion in just a matter of hours. They didn't understand any of this. All they thought, it's just another day. And the problem was, they had spent all this time in the presence of Jesus, hearing Him talk, but they didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. See? And when people today say things like, God never speaks to me, the problem is, it's not that He isn't speaking, it's that we aren't recognizing Him. We don't recognize He is speaking to us. And so the issue is not, how do I motivate God to speak to me? The issue is, how do I learn to recognize when He does speak? And as far as the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is concerned, you can't begin to operate, or you can't begin to be used adequately by the Holy Spirit in those gifts until you begin to recognize the voice of God. You see what I'm saying? God will speak and is speaking to all of us. So it's a matter of recognizing and distinguishing His voice as opposed to everything else that goes on inside of us. How many of you know, and I'm sure this is true for every person in here, when you lay down at night, right, you know, before you kind of drift off to sleep, have you ever had like weird, crazy thoughts go through your head? It's like you're not dreaming because you're not really asleep. You're just kind of in that twilight zone. And goofy stuff goes through your head. Do you understand? A lot of that is your imagination, obviously. However, it's at times like that, if you train your spirit man, you will begin to hear God's voice so incredibly clearly. He will speak to you during those times. And when you first wake up in the morning. Those are two of the times to hear God the clearest. So it's not a matter of is He or isn't He speaking. It's a matter of how do I know? How do I recognize this? Well, let me show you. Turn over to John. Let me guess, Pastor. John 14? Very good. John 14. Now, Jesus knew what was coming up. He had been with the disciples for 3+ years. And they had relied on Him exclusively. That's because, remember what I shared with you earlier, how that God had no other way to continually communicate with people other than from the outside. He couldn't have this constant fellowship on the inside and speak on the inside because we had that sin nature. So here God decides to come down out of heaven and put on a flesh body and take the name of Jesus. And He's with these fellows for all this time. And you realize that the 12 weren't the only ones that were hanging around Jesus. There were a lot of others besides just those 12, but those were the primary. And there were times where He pulled them aside and began to teach even deeper on some things. So they had relied on Him all this time. They didn't know anything else but Jesus. And even the time when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, a prophet and this, that, and the other. And He says, yeah, but who do you say I am? And Peter stands up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. All right. Now, it's possible that Peter really did have some incredible insight in this. However, he wasn't fully convinced because of what happened beyond that time, between then and the time of the crucifixion. He wasn't fully convinced of who Jesus was. I think Peter was like a lot of us, kind of vacillating in between. I mean, we know who Jesus was, but there are times that we really question Jesus, God, the Father, using us in anything that's meaningful in this world. There are times we really question whether or not God wants to speak to me, whether God really wants to use me in mighty signs and wonders and miracles. And all. I'm just not so sure about all of this. Well, Peter at times wasn't so sure, and you can tell that just by their conversations that are recorded here in the Bible. But nevertheless, all they knew was Jesus. And Jesus says, He says, look, let me paraphrase leading up to this. He says, the time's come that I'm going to be leaving you. Well, what a bummer. They didn't like that. And he said, in fact, he even went so far as to say, it's best for you if I leave. Well, that didn't even make sense at all. Jesus, we're doing pretty good with you. Dead people get raised, blind eyes get opened, and all these other wonderful things. What do you mean it's best if you leave? And he says, it's best if I leave. Because when I'm gone, verse 16, I'm going to pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, where He says that word another, it basically means something, in this case someone, who is identical to me in every way possible, yet in another form. And that word Comforter, it's the same word that is translated advocate over in 1 John. And so when He says, I'm going to send to you another Comforter, He's talking about Himself. He's basically telling them, if you can grasp this, He's saying, I'm going to send Myself back to you in another form. You say, I don't understand. Well, I don't either. I just know there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know there's a triune Godhead. I understand that. I believe it. I don't understand the dynamics of it, but I understand the reality and the truth of it. And when Jesus was making this statement, He's saying, I'm going to pray and the Father's going to send another Comforter that will abide with you forever. Then He identifies how this is going to happen, or as far as who this individual is going to be. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you. Now see, here's where he's identifying Himself as that Comforter in the form of Jesus. He says He's been dwelling with you. However, there's coming a time when He shall be in you. The Comforter has been with you all this time. You guys didn't even know it. And I'm going to pray the Father. He's coming back in another form. And He'll be in you. It reiterates this. He says, I won't leave you comfortless. He says, I will come to you. Well, jump down in verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, do you see that? Kind of in the middle of the verse where it says, will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Those two words, shall teach, those two words literally mean instruct by word of mouth. So what this means is that Jesus is telling us that the Holy Ghost, who shall be in us and abide with us forever, is going to speak to us by mouth. He is going to instruct us. Now, over in chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak. All right, now here we have an identification or a clarification that yes, indeed, He's going to have a mouth. It's not a mouth like what I look at your face and see, and you look at my face and see. I mean, it's not, you know, a flesh mouth. You know what I'm saying here? But He is identifying the fact that He is going to speak to us. He says, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, meaning He's not a separate entity separated from the Father or from Me. There is a unity in us. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. That word show means to declare freely and openly. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall declare it freely and openly unto you. Now, what Jesus has just done here is told them, and he's also telling us, but to them he was saying, you've been with me all of this time, and I have been speaking to you, and you have followed my direction and my voice, and you've listened to my words, but there's coming a time very shortly when I shall be removed from you. However, I won't leave you without an advocate. I won't leave you without a comforter. Because once I've gone back to the Father, I will pray the Father, and the Father shall send back to you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, but he will be identical to me in every way, shape, and form, except he won't have the flesh, blood, and bone body that you now see on me. And he's been with you all of this time, but he shall be in you. He's been in me, but he shall be in you. Once he is in you, he will pick up where I left off. You've been listening with the outward man to what I have been saying outwardly, but you will have to learn to listen with the inward man to hear what I will be saying through the Holy Spirit to you. So he's saying, from this point on, guys, you're never, ever going to have to worry about not being in my presence and not being able to hear me. Well, the same thing is true for us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He speaks to us. Now, since the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us, then don't you think it just makes sense to spend some time with Him? Look over in 1 Corinthians. I'll show you something over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In Acts chapter 27, don't turn to it. You can read it later on. In Acts chapter 27, there was an incredible story about how that Paul was put on a ship, and a centurion took Paul and some other prisoners. And on this ship, they were supposed to be ultimately headed toward Rome. And Paul made this statement. He says, I perceive that there is going to be great hurt to the cargo, the ship, and the people. You better not set sail. And they said, who are you? A preacher and a tent maker. We've got the owner of the ship. We've got the captain. They know what these waters are like. We've got perfect sailing weather. Sorry. Why don't you go sit down? We'll handle the boat stuff. Well, you know what happened? Storm blew up. Terrible things took place. They lost all the cargo. Ended up losing the ship. And at one point, Paul stands up. Before they lost the ship, Paul stands up and he says, you guys should have listened to me. And he says, but don't fear. They're in the middle of a storm that lasts for over 2 weeks. And he says, but don't fear. He says, wait a minute, you're the one that told us before we set sail on this thing there was going to be great damage and destruction to the cargo, to the boat, and even to our own lives. And now you're going to tell us, be of good cheer? Well, excuse me, preacher, tent maker, crazy man, what are you talking about? And he says, an angel of the Lord appeared unto me tonight, and he told me that the Lord had given all of your lives to me. So nobody's going to die. Going to lose a ship, going to be struck on an island, but nobody's going to die. How did he know that? How could he have known even about the ship that they shouldn't even have set sail? How could he have known that? It's because he understood the voice of God. He could distinguish it. Now look, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues, speak with tongues more than you all. All right, now just take that verse right there. A lot of folks would try to make that out to mean that Paul thanks God that he stands up in church and gives tongues for interpretation more than anybody. But that can't be true. Well, why not, Pastor? Because the next verse he says, yet in the church. In other words, in verse 18, he's talking about something that is taking place outside the church. And then he says in verse 19, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words with an unknown tongue. Well, now wait a second. There's something here that throws me a curve. He says right there in verse in the middle of verse 19, he says, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also. Also what? Also means in addition to. In addition to what? That you might teach others also? Help me here, Paul. I don't know what you're talking about. And he says, well, go back and read what I wrote in verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, he says, listen, if I'm spending all my time out there speaking in tongues more than you all, what good is it going to do you if I don't stand up in your midst and share with you the revelation, the knowledge, the teaching, and the doctrine that I have received from the Holy Spirit as a result of praying in this language that God has given me? And he says in verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, when I am in the church, it is to your benefit that I would even speak just five words in revelation, teaching, knowledge, and doctrine so that I might teach you also as I have been taught by the Holy Spirit. What's he telling us in this? He's telling us that it is through the process of continually praying in tongues, speaking, praying in tongues more than you all, he's telling us that it is through the use of this prayer language that I am training my spirit to recognize the voice of God's Spirit so that I can adequately be taught revelation, knowledge, doctrine, and teaching so that when I stand up in front of people, I then can release and teach unto them that which I have been taught as a result of that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as hearing the voice of God is concerned, he's telling you right here in these passages, if you want to learn to recognize, not motivate God to speak to you, because he's already speaking to you. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't have to pray in tongues for God to speak to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's going to speak anyhow. Anybody that has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he wants to talk to them. It's not, like I said earlier, it's not an issue of trying to get God to speak. It's an issue of recognizing when he does speak. And so the more that I begin to pray in the Spirit, the more that I begin to spend those times giving myself over to that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I, as Paul wrote in another place there, well, right here in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 2, he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I cannot adequately prophesy to the church for the church's edification if I have not first been edified myself. A lot of preachers try. That's why I must give myself over to praying in the Spirit to train my spirit man how to recognize the voice of God so that I can... And when he says prophesy, don't just think in terms of God said 3 days from today you are going to... That's not what he's referring to. He's referring to the prophetical deliverance, the speaking forth of the Word of God. Unless I spend time in the presence of God, praying in tongues, learning, training my inner man, my spirit man, how to recognize God's voice, how am I going to know what I'm hearing? Is God or somebody else, like the devil or my emotions? That's why this morning, when God was kind of dropping the hammer and I paused for such a long time, I knew what I heard on the inside. There was no way I was going to say that until I knew it was God. That's why I just hushed up. Step number two. once you've begun praying in tongues. And again, I want to encourage you, this isn't going to be an overnight thing. This is going to take some time. It's a training period. Arnold did not become Arnold overnight. And you can take bucket loads of steroids, but you still got to pump the iron. You can hear bucket loads of sermons, but you still got to pray the prayer. After you have given yourself to praying in tongues and you're developing this as a lifestyle, learn to stop and listen. Here's what will happen. You'll begin to pray. And don't get caught up in this thing. You got to be on your knees to pray. You can sit, you can lay down, you can be in your pajamas. It doesn't matter. Anywhere, anytime. You can pray in the Spirit. But it's helpful when you do it when you're alone. No distractions. No music, just you and God. And so you pray. Pray for 20 minutes, 30 minutes in tongues. And then stop. Just stop. And just sit there and listen. Sit and listen. Can I walk around? You can, but it works better if you just sit. Because if you're walking around, you're going to worry about bumping into something. And it's even better if you can get a room with all the lights turned out. Total darkness. Why is that? Because you want to shut yourself off from as much sensory input as possible and just sit and listen. You say, will he start talking? Yeah, but he probably won't say anything for a few minutes. Maybe 10, maybe 15. He'll let you sit there and listen. Because you're training yourself to listen for the voice of God. And when thoughts come in about Florida, when thoughts come in about your job, about your kids, about your money, cast them down. Get rid of them. And just think about Jesus. And then what happens is you'll begin to hear something. And at first, there's a good chance you'll probably cast it aside and think, nah, that wasn't God. But that's okay. Because this is all a part of the process of learning to recognize His voice. Now, over time, you're going to learn how to distinguish between what your emotions would tell you. You'll immediately learn that when your emotions are telling you things like, go do the laundry and wash the car and whatever, you'll know that that's not God. But there will be times when you'll hear something on the inside, and at first it'll sound like it makes sense, maybe. But you're just not too sure. But over time, you'll be able to distinguish. God will sound like you, all right? He's not going to speak in Swahili. He's not going to have some kind of a British accent. It's not going to be like Cecil B. DeMille, you know, in the movie Ten Commandments. This is God, take off your shoes. It won't be like that. It's kind of like what the prophet wrote about, the still small voice. You know, the wind, the quiet little wind. That's what it's going to be on the inside. Now here's what's neat. The more that you do that, the more you're going to begin to learn how to carry on a conversation with the Lord. He'll say something to you. And you're not going to be too sure, was that God or not? Ask Him. Just ask Him. He's there. Ask Him, was that you, Lord? And if it makes you feel better to ask it out loud, do it out loud. I mean, I've learned to carry on the conversation on the inside. You mean He talks like that? Yes. Yes. Ask Him, Lord, was that you? There are many times where God's given me some things. And I've just told Him, I said, I'm sorry, no disrespect intended, but until I'm sure that's you, I'm not going to say a word. So help me with this. Help me, Holy Spirit. You're the one that's speaking to me. Help me with this. Now, He said something else to me tonight that I want you to see. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. And it goes right along with this. Something I really hadn't thought about until tonight. But I understand it now. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God to us in the inner man. I know people say things like, well, God can speak to you through His Word. Yes, He can. But if God speaks to you through His Word, it is going to be the Holy Spirit on the inside instructing you according to what you are reading. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The love of God is shed abroad, not put in. The love of God is put in us the moment we get born again. That love is put in us, but he says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who's been given to us. Now look over in Jude. In Jude, verse 20, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, here's what he told me tonight as I was standing here. He said that the more that we let the Holy Ghost pray through us, we offer our bodies, our tongues, our lungs, and so forth. We pray in tongues. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Let Him pray through us. The more that we do that, we are allowing Him to more adequately and completely shed God's love abroad in our hearts. And in the same at the same time, in the same process, we're keeping us. That anointing that He is releasing through us during those times of prayer, that anointing is keeping us in the love of God. And the Lord told me, as that happens, my love and my compassion flowing to you and abounding within you will cause you to become more sensitive to my voice, because I am love and I speak out of love. I thought, Because remember when Jesus, the Bible says more than one place that He was moved by compassion or moved with compassion, and He knew exactly what to do? That's because He let love be the motivator for everything that He did. When the love of God is shed abroad in us, and it is flowing to us, and it begins to abound within us, that's when our spirit man, I'm not talking carnal love, I'm not talking emotional love, I'm talking the love of God, that's when our spirit man begins to become more and more sensitive to the very heart of God Himself. And the more sensitive that we are to His heart is the more sensitive we become to His voice. Then, like Jesus, we too shall be moved with compassion and know exactly what God wants us to do. As we begin to grow in this, God, by the Holy Spirit, may choose to use us in the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. Because there's no guarantee that every one of us will ever be used in those gifts. But by building ourselves up in this way, it causes us then to be more ready to hear with the inner man those words of knowledge and those words of wisdom. So that when the time comes, He can use us like that. But if we haven't trained ourselves to become sensitive to His voice, we'll miss it. And we won't know when He's speaking. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom won't happen every day. It won't happen that often. It's not just something that continually flows. When the Holy Spirit thinks it's the thing to do, He'll do it. But He's got to have a vessel that's ready, see? But more than anything else, He wants you to know when to turn to the left and when to turn to the right and when to go straight. You don't have to pray in tongues for God to talk to you. But praying in the Spirit trains your inner man to become more sensitive to the voice of God, helping you to better distinguish the difference between your emotions, the lies of Satan, and the voice of God. I want to encourage you. God will speak to you every single day. There won't be a day go by He doesn't want to talk to you. Think of it as a parent. How many days have gone by that you didn't want to talk to your own kids? Now, He's your Father. Don't you think? I mean, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, of course, you know, the evil's been washed away, but we understand the analogy. How much more does He want to talk to you as your Heavenly Father? You can hear the voice of God every single day. And that is what He wants. And this process is exactly how Paul and the others, like Ananias, got to the point of being able to distinguish and identify the difference between their own emotions and the voice of God. Let me tell you what. The more that you'll do this and practice praying in the Spirit, God will begin to speak to you. It's incredible. Sometimes He'll just blurt out in the middle while you're driving down the road. He'll just decide to talk. He'll wake you up sometime. I mean, He never sleeps in slumber, so He doesn't really get too messed up about waking you up. He'll just go ahead and He'll wake you up and start talking to you. You'll be in the shower minding your own business. He'll talk to you. You'll be in church. He'll talk to you. You'll be at work. He'll talk to you. He'll just start talking to you. Just out of the clear blue. Like He's got this telephone that He never hangs up. He just starts talking to you. And then you can start talking to Him. And you can ask Him a question. And He'll answer you. And He'll talk back to you. And you can carry on conversations with Him. Let me tell you what. When those things start to happen, it's like, wow, I'm talking to God. This is cool. Then He'll start telling you, I'd like for you to go and do such and such. I want you to go over to so and so and tell them thus and thus. And He begins to move in your life. And you know what? There'll come a point to where you can't even remember not hearing Him talk to you. And then you scratch your head and wonder, how come nobody else hears? It's wonderful. It is so wonderful. Why don't you stand up?